We'll ask for your prayers this afternoon. Lord, to bless his word to us. I'd like to speak about something this afternoon that I believe probably all of us would have some experience with. Probably, I believe it was Job that said, man is but few days and full of trouble. If you've lived very long, you probably know what the sting of disappointment is. I'd like to look and as we begin in the 24th chapter of the book of Luke, Webster defines disappointment as defeat or failure of expectation or hope or desire. Something that we hoped for or that we're looking for or that we're expecting, and then we don't get it. Or things don't work out as we expected or hoped that they would. The result of that is often a sense of disappointment that we feel. Luke, the 24th chapter, the first day of the week, the day, selfsame day that the Lord was resurrected. We know the account of these men walking on the road to Emmaus. They were communing together, 15th verse. They reasoned, Jesus drew himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, are thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. These men had placed their hopes in Jesus. There was something about him that drew them, that to whatever extent these particular individuals had spent with him, they believed. There was something within him that they had staked their hopes in the fact that Jesus had said on the third day that he would be raised again. They had hoped, and if you notice here, it says he was a great prophet indeed. But we had hoped that he would be our Messiah. We had hoped that he would be the one that redeemed Israel. We had put our hopes in this, and then it doesn't look like it's come to fruition. We're disappointed now. We're in a place where we're coping with the feelings of disappointment, of rejection, of questions, of we thought this would happen, and then it didn't. You ever been disappointed? You know, there, I'd like to consider a few aspects of disappointment. We can be disappointed in ourselves. We can be disappointed in the way that we come through life or come through a trial or a situation that I look back on it and I'm disappointed in myself. I'm disappointed in the way that I handle that. I look back on it and do you think Peter felt a sense of disappointment? Do you think whenever Peter looked back and no doubt running through his mind the things that he had told Jesus and the hope that he had in himself that he was going to be of all men, if anyone else betrays him, Lord, I won't. Don't you know there had to be a great sense of disappointment? To me, that was whenever I was a child and I would get into trouble, a discipline or a whipping or whatever was pretty bad. But especially as I got older, there was something about the words of my parents or someone that I respected, I'm disappointed in you. Oh, that hurts. That means they had hope for me. They expected more out of me. And I fell short. I didn't live up to that expectation. We can be in a place where we become disappointed in ourselves. There's a song that we sing. Is not this the land of Canaan. Says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears, broken vows and disappointments, thickly sprinkled all the way. But the Spirit led unerring to the land I hold today. Looking back over the past of our lives, over a path where maybe we've wandered, and at times where we've made vows to ourselves or expectations that we set of ourselves, and we look back on it and vows have been broken and there's disappointments strewn all along the way. But it says the Spirit led unerring to the land that I hold today. The Apostle Paul, a man who had much room to be disappointed in himself as he looked back, yet he said, forgetting those things which are behind. We've got to be willing to forget, to leave behind, to commit to the blood those things that are behind. For disappointments, if not dealt with, can lead to destruction. Judas' disappointment in himself led him to the point that he became so overcome with sorrow that he committed suicide. He took his own life. Disappointment in myself. I can't go back and unwind the clock. I can't go back and undo something that I just did. This weight of disappointment that's resting on me. And yet the Lord's able to help us to defeat disappointment, to lead us unerring to a better land. Disappointment in ourselves. You ever been disappointed in others? I'm sure you have. Disappointed in others that you had an expectation or a hope of, and maybe had confidence in, and you observe their lives and they disappoint you. They fall short of the expectation and the hope and the confidence that you had placed in them. Other people can disappoint us. Psalms, the 55th chapter. Psalms 55 and the 12th verse says, it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. If it would have been someone in the world, I would have expected this kind of treatment, this kind of rejection, or whatever the hurt or the offense, if it's personal or something that I've observed of their lives, would remind you of Demas. Remember what Paul said of Demas? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, Demas, having been a minister of the gospel and a fellow worker with Paul, don't you know that was disappointing to the congregation? Disappointing to those who have placed their confidence in him and had trusted the experience that he had with the Lord to sit back and observe. That's why the enemy loves to work havoc in the lives of those that the Lord has called to work in the gospel. If he can cause disappointment and discouragement among the people that have placed confidence and hope and trust in an individual. You know, people can disappoint us. It was disappointing, no doubt, of Demas with the congregation. It was disappointing to Paul, who had taken sweet counsel, no doubt, with Demas, had worked together with him, and yet to see him disappoint, to see him fail to rise to the occasion, to the temptation, to the trial that was before him, and he went another way. This can be taken as prophecy of Judas. Jesus said, a man's foes be they of his own household. You know, sometimes it's those who are the dearest to us Sometimes it's those from whom, as is inferred here, that we'd expect better. We'd expect you to know better than that. I'd expect by now that you wouldn't treat me this way. We're brethren. We're family. We're saints together. Whatever the case is. And it stings whenever you disappoint me. Whenever I'm disappointed in an individual. So we can be disappointed by people. You know, we can be disappointed in the Lord as well. There's a song that says, "When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest. He knows what's good for you. Still trusting, look above and rest upon His love and see what He will do. Just trust Him and be true and see what He will do. He'll never disappoint your soul. When you have done your best, let Jesus do the rest and keep your eyes upon the goal." I'm thankful for one who will never fail us, for one who will never abandon us, for one who of whom it can never be said, "I had trusted in you and you failed me. You rejected me. You didn't deliver on your promises." And yet in life, whenever we come through places where we've sought the Lord, we've had a need and prayed to the Lord about it, done the best that I know to trust the Lord that He's going to answer and He's going to take care of it, and it just looks like things don't turn out the way that I hoped. Maybe it's an affliction, and maybe I'm looking to the Lord and seeking Him to take care of the affliction or to bring relief or deliverance from it. And maybe in obedience to the Word, I come and forward and I'm anointed and prayed for, and with great expectation, with great hope, it's the right thing to do. May we never be discouraged away from putting our trust in the Lord. It works. The enemy would like to discourage and try to get us into a frame of mind to think that the Lord doesn't work anymore. He's a liar from the beginning. The Lord does still answer prayer. The Lord is still a healer in Zion. But you know, there are times where the Lord does not choose to answer in the timing and in the way that we seek Him. The Lord is obligated unto His Word. The Lord is obligated to be faithful to His Word. He's not obligated to every request or the way that I ask Him to answer. That's why we must come to Him saying, "Lord, Thy will be done." Another song says, "Further along." Further along, I'll know all about it. Further along, I'll understand why. But there are some things today that I may not understand. Some ways that the Lord works that I may stand and look in bewilderment and question, and the enemy is right there to try to offer suggestions that the Lord just didn't hear. The Lord's not answering prayer. Whatever it is that the enemy tries to discourage us with. But I'd like to look at the 119th chapter of Psalms as we spent some time here a couple weeks ago. Psalms 119 in the 67th verse says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes." You know, it sounds like the psalmist was writing this after the fact. Looking back on my affliction, looking back on the past, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered many years. Whenever I look back, now he's saying, I can see. Now I can realize that before you afflicted me, I was going astray. I needed some adjustment. I needed to be turned and reoriented a little differently. "Thou," he said also in the 75th verse, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me." There was a time for Paul whenever he had a thorn in the flesh, and he was seeking the Lord as he knew to do. Three times he besought the Lord for deliverance from it, and the Lord didn't give him deliverance from it. Paul had an opportunity to be disappointed. Disappointment, when not dealt with, turns very quickly into discouragement. He could have become discouraged and disheartened with the Lord, and, "Lord, here I am, I'm endeavoring to do everything that I know to do, endeavoring to put my trust in you, and Lord, you're not removing this thorn in the flesh." But he found God in it. Where he didn't see God work the way that he asked, he found the Lord to say, "My grace is sufficient for you." And it changed his whole perspective. It changed the disappointment that no doubt he had felt to where he could say, "I will therefore rather glory in my infirmities. When I am weak, then am I strong." We read in the 33rd chapter of Job, I believe last week, about the workings and the dealings of the Lord. In a dream, in visions of the night, he endeavors to open the ears of man. He endeavors to withdraw them from their purposes and to keep their soul from the pit through affliction, through strong pain. You know, the Lord knows what's best for us. And as the song said, he knows just what we need. He knows what's needed, and he'll never disappoint our souls. We can be disappointed in ourselves. We can be disappointed in others. But the encouragement and the exhortation to us this afternoon is to keep our eyes on the Lord. That we not look at circumstances around us. That we not base our courage on other people. We can draw encouragement from one another, but we've got to put our hope and our dependence in the Lord. Man can disappoint, but the Lord never will. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews 12 and 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." In order to deal with disappointments and discouragements, every one of us are going to have our eyes on Jesus. Not having our eyes fixed and set on ourselves, on our abilities, on other people, and on circumstances around us, but to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. Peter found whenever he lost that focus. Whenever he began to look at circumstances around, the waves that were around him, he began to sink. We read in Numbers, the 21st chapter, the children of Israel, as the Lord was bringing them through a less than desirable land, they weren't able to go the most direct route through the land of the Edomites. The men of Edom came out against them and refused to give them passage through the land. And so the place that they had to take was a very desolate and dry and a barren land. As I understand from reading about it, it was a very rocky area without much vegetation or water or anything. And they had been turned, having to go out of their way. They weren't able to take the direct route. And the scripture says, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. As they had to go and take the detour, and they had faced something that seemed like it was too big for them. A people who it seemed were too great for them. And Now they're at a place where there's not a whole lot. It's hostile to us. And it's not real conducive to encouragement and to reinforcement. And you know, we're going to have those places in our lives. It's not always going to be a high emotional experience. It's not always going to be something where everything coming my way is encouraging and just an inspiration to me. And everything I see, I see the Lord in it. There are going to be times where it's barren. There are going to be times where it's dry. Times where it seems like I can just barely get enough to sustain life. The soul of the people became much discouraged within them. Disappointments in our lives, if not dealt with, if not brought to the Lord. Lord, help me to get this into the proper perspective. The story of Asaph in 73rd chapter of Psalms was that he became discouraged when he looked around at other people and he was disappointed. Disappointed in them, and it seemed like disappointed almost in the way the Lord was dealing with them. That it seemed like they had ease of life and their passage through life wasn't as hard as his was. And he said, my feet had well nigh slipped. Became disappointed and discouraged and about to lose my way until I came into the sanctuary of the Lord. Thank the Lord, there's a place of refreshing. Thank the Lord, whenever my mind gets out of sorts, whenever things in life are going crossways and it seems like things just aren't going and fitting together the way that I expected them to or the way that I wanted to, there's a place that we can go. There's one that we can go to and bring our confusion and bring our disappointments. And as the men on the road to Emmaus, we had hoped. We thought that he would be it. And we don't have the answers. We don't understand now. Jesus so lovingly and tenderly and patiently just joined right up beside him and walked along the road with him. I'm so thankful for a friend who will join up beside us whenever we're confused. Feeling anger, disappointed, perplexed by life. That he wants to join up beside us and patiently, tenderly, lovingly begin to help us to understand and to see. So the psalmist had to have his perspective changed before he was destroyed. May the Lord help us at those times in our life that we overcome disappointment. That we not be overcome by it, but that we, through our trust and faith in the Lord, can trust the Lord to turn a disappointment into an appointment. David, the Scripture says, encouraged himself in the Lord whenever his own people turned on him. Whenever they were discouraged in him, and he had disappointed them, and their soul was discouraged and angry at David and those who should have been rallying behind him saying, David, it's all right. You lost your wife too. It's okay. We'll band together in this. And yet they turned on him and it seemed like he was all alone. And it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. In order to overcome disappointment and discouragement, we have to have our hope anchored in that which is eternal. Anchored in that which is not fleeting, and that which can never fail or disappoint us in life, and that is the Lord. Thank the Lord today that He understands our disappointments. He understands the circumstances and people, and we can be discouraged and disappointed in ourselves. He understands that, and He is the rock to whom we can anchor ourselves that will never disappoint our souls. You pray for me. Amen.